As Mary Louise mentioned, an important question mark in the policy debate is Afghan troops. There aren't enough of them now, nor are they trained well enough. And General McChrystal is worried that during the time it takes to train them, the insurgents could gain an insurmountable advantage and the war could be lost. Here now to talk about the state of the Afghan army is retired Lieutenant General James Dubik. He oversaw training of Iraqi troops, and he spent the summer in Afghanistan observing the training of troops there. And he's also advising General McChrystal. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Madeline, and thank you for having me.
How many Afghan troops are necessary, do you think, to wage a successful counterinsurgency operation, and how many are now adequately trained?
Well, the army is about 90,000, the police a little bit less. The absolute number, I think, should really be a matter of study, because the size of the Afghan National Army and the size of the police forces will be a function of the geography of the country, the level of the insurgency, and the speed at which we can grow them.
I've seen the number, though, of 300,000, around 300,000, as one number that would be necessary.
Yeah, I think that would probably be, Madeline, the low end. For example, in Iraq now, there are 600,000, and Afghanistan is a much larger country, much more broken up country, in a much more rural country.
And will they be able to be trained with the existing number of U.S. troops, or do you think there will have to be more U.S. troops in country to provide the training and also the security?
Well, training the Afghan forces, I think, in this regard, will be very similar to training forces anywhere in the world. Part of their training is done in what's called an institutional training base, and that is at the training centers and the training schools. And then the second half of their training is done on the job. The United States Army does that. Most NATO countries do the same thing. And in Iraq, we partnered up as part of the acceleration. We partnered Iraqi forces with coalition forces so that the Iraqis could continue to learn as they planned, prepared, executed operations in the field. And this will be, I think, a similar kind of affair in Afghanistan if we do this correctly.
Well, would that require more U.S. troops?
I think yes.
Let's talk about the recent presidential elections. And there are accusations of widespread voter fraud. And many people in Afghanistan don't consider the government of Hamid Karzai legitimate. They see it as corrupt. And I'm just wondering, how do you build an Afghan army and police force that is seen as legitimate in the population if the population doesn't believe the government that runs it is legitimate?
Well, I wasn't there for the election, and I've heard the same reports you have. Some of them may be true. I don't know. But the legitimacy of the government is very important. And there's a mutuality in my experience anyway. The more a security force can actually provide security on behalf of the government, the more that government is seen as legitimate. So it's not an either-or sequential kind of approach that I would think is necessary, but rather a simultaneous approach that builds the Afghan security forces, that uses NATO forces in conjunction with Afghan national forces to provide security to the population. And there's a diplomatic or a political engagement with the Karzai government to make them perform or help them perform in a way, again, that is perceived as legitimate. These things are very difficult, but as we saw in Iraq, they can be overcome with concerted, coordinated civil-military activity.
Retired Lieutenant General James Dubik, thank you for joining us.
Well, Madeline, thank you very much, and thanks for hosting this show in such an important topic.